And, well, we know, just collectively, we tend to know about God. We tend to know about God. If we grew up in church, we've heard a lot about God over the years. If we pop in and out of church, even if we don't go to church on a regular basis, there is enough information that we know about God. But the goal is not to know about God. That's not the goal. The goal is to know God. And there's a huge difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And over for the basically for the course of this spring, for the rest of this spring, we're going to spend our time seeing if we can't find out what God has told us about himself in some of his characteristics, some of his greatest characteristics, as described by some of his names. And as we get into it this morning, make that a little bit clearer. Before we get started, though, a couple of things I want to point out. I hope you got a bulletin this morning, because I'm going to ask you to read with me in a little bit here. But I hope you've got a bulletin. Inside is your giving envelope, and we'll do our we give at the end of every service, and so. At the end of the service, you know, we'll pass the plates around. You can put that in there. But what I do want you to put in there is this connection card right here. Now, it's Easter, and so one time this year, most of the time I just say, oh, you know, if you're a regular attendee or you're a member, just put your name on here, and sometimes you forget to do that. And so what we have to do is get back into the swing of things. Well, I'd like everybody throughout the course of this morning, because I know you're not going to be listening the whole time. I just know that's how it works. Your mind's going to wander off, and I'm going to give you something to do when your mind is wandering, okay? And then you can come back and, you know, get back into it. Over the course of this morning, before we get down to the very end and you put your connection card in the plate, I'd like everybody to fill out the whole front, okay? Most of them, just your name or whatever like that. This way we get everybody, you know, sometimes you forget to tell me that there's an update or you don't put it in there, whatever. Just if you've any information that you're willing to give us, if this is one of your first couple of times here, that's true too. Any information you're willing to give us so we can connect with you. If you're a regular attendee or a member, I think I know where you live, but if you don't tell me, I don't. So make sure that you put that on there, update that on here, okay? And we want everybody to fill out the front side. And then we'll be flipping it over to the back and using that throughout the course of the morning today. Let's have a word of prayer. And we're going to dig into the scriptures this morning. This is the greatest day, I said, on the Christian calendar. The Apostle Paul said that it's one thing for Jesus to die. But get this. If he did not come back from the dead, if he stayed dead like the rest of us do when we die, if he stayed dead, the Apostle Paul said something very poignant. This is going to, this covers everything today. If Jesus is not alive today, our faith is hopeless. What we think we believe is futile. And more importantly, we are still in our sins. That's what he said. The resurrection changed everything. There is no Christian faith without Easter Sunday. There's none. We can believe anything we want, but without the resurrection, we have nothing to stand on. This is a great day, and I'm glad you're here. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dig into God's word. Father, we are so grateful. We just lifted our voices. No better day to sing praise to you than the day that Jesus came back to life. And it's been proven. It's beyond doubt. There's been medical proof and all the others. It's just proven scientifically, medically. It's not just a faith. It's not just a religion. This is truth. And you have allowed us to participate in it. You have called us to it. And And we thank you for it. Thank you so much. Father, there is, as we sang, no other name. You said that you are going to exalt Jesus above every name that is named. No other name. And as we, for this spring, look at some of your names and how you work in our lives, I pray that we would be changed because of it. And this morning, as we dig in and we just scratch the surface to see what you want to do in us, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work on our hearts, that he would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. God, there are people this morning that need to be encouraged. They're depressed, they're down, they're looking for whatever it is. God, we ask that you would be an encourager this morning. There's some of us that may need to be convicted, maybe because of sin, maybe because of apathy, maybe because we don't even know Jesus Christ that we've been singing about. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would also be a convictor this morning, and that you would bring us to where we need to be, so that when we walk out of this building, it's not just another sermon, it's not just another couple of nice songs, but we've met you here today. That's my prayer, and God, I ask that that would be the prayer of all of us here. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, our mission here at Oak Tree, our mission here is to help you, I already said, come to know God, grow in your knowledge of God, and in your relationship with God. That's our goal. If we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling our mission. And we believe that Jesus himself gave us that mission. So it's not like we can just go out and get a new one. Because we don't like that one. We'll do something else. You know, we're not interested in doing that. So the way that we're going to do that this spring is by looking at some of God's greatest characteristics, like I've mentioned. So the things that set him apart. Of course, he's God. He's set apart anyway. But that set him apart beyond any other religion, beyond any other church, far beyond anything that we could make up. The things that he has chosen to tell us about himself. And we're going to do it by looking at probably one of the best loved and well-known passages in all of the Bible. We know it as the 23rd Psalm. And if you've been to a funeral, maybe you've probably heard this. If you grew up in church, you may even have this memorized. I don't know. But I would like you, if you would join me this morning, and it's in your bulletin, or it'll be on the screen as well, would you read this together with me? And we'll put a little bit of emotion into it, and we'll break it down into some lines here. But Psalm 23 is going to be our springboard for the rest of this spring. And would you read this with me? We all know this first line, "The Lord is our shepherd." We'll start there. Let's read it together, would you please? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside green waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's just a great little poem, isn't it? That's just a great psalm. We just read that three or four more times and be done today. Is everybody cool? No, we're not going to do that. What would I have spent all week doing? No. There's something about this psalm. I don't know exactly what it is. But like I said, if you've been to a funeral, maybe you, it's read at funerals frequently, especially that section right there in the middle, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that comes up. People turn to this passage sometimes. Maybe they've got it on a card, or they open their Bible and they find it and they read it when they need some encouragement, when there's some despair, when they need some hope. Maybe, as we read it together this morning, maybe your mind just was flooded with memories from the last time that you heard it or the last time that you read it, or a particular point in time, an event that this passage is tied to. You'll never be able to separate it. I don't know what it is. But for some reason, the 23rd Psalm has a profound effect on us. And I don't know if I know exactly why or what it attaches to or whatever, other than the fact that it's found in the Bible and I'd have a high regard for the Bible. But just from an emotional standpoint, I think, and this is just my speculation, do with it what you want, I don't care. I think that somewhere deep down in each of us, there is a place we don't visit very often, and sometimes we won't even acknowledge is there, but somewhere deep down inside, we know that we need. And sometimes we even are vulnerable and willing enough to admit that we want a shepherd. Now, if you've ever worked with sheep before, just plug your ears or something, because you're going to find what I'm going to say next really, really silly. Because you know the other side of things. But for those of us who are blissfully ignorant of what it's really like to take care of sheep, when I say shepherd and sheep, I don't know what it conjures up in your mind, but to me, I mean, you've seen the picture, right? With the the sun shining and the green grass, you know, dotted with cotton balls out there, because sheep are hard to draw, right, and paint. So the artist usually just does like cotton balls, you know, sort of like we do in Treehouse Kids, you know. Just like, that's a sheep. Really? How cute, you know. So there's the little cotton balls dotted throughout the green, lush pastures. You can almost, as you're thinking about it, hear the creek just trickling by, the cold water, you know. You get a picture of the shepherd sitting over there under the tree, just sort of watching, because that's all a shepherd does, you know. Sits under the tree and just watches. Humming to himself, oh, what a beautiful day, you know, because that's how it works when you're watching sheep, of course, you know. I told you, those of you who have actually taken care of sheep, just, you know, because, and it's serene, and it's tranquil, and it's idyllic, and it's peaceful, and it's just, and we think to ourselves, I wish I was a sheep with no cares in the world, just grazing. We start letting our minds drift. And all of a sudden the phone rings. Or the baby wakes up. Or the boss emails. Or the car behind us starts honking because the light turned green. You know, or you know, whatever it was, and all of a sudden we're shaken back to reality. And we have caught ourselves in that deep down inside place, wishing, desiring, needing a shepherd. Somebody who will protect us, somebody who will watch over us. In fact, you maybe even start humming Gershwin, someone to watch over me, you know. It's just all beautiful. But life isn't that way, is it? Life is not peaceful. It's not tranquil. It's not what we had hoped for. Life doesn't turn out that way. And we know that if left to ourselves and we just do life on our own, it's certainly not going to be that picture of the creek and the pasture. And we wish we had somebody who could make it like that. Well, I have good news for you this morning. Because even though there are cars honking and babies crying and phones ringing and, you know, email constantly coming in and schedules that we can't manage and budgets that keep being broken and all of that stuff, there was a man many, many, many years ago who discovered exactly what we know deep down inside we need and we want. And he was able to say, with all the stress that came with his life, and, you know, he was like king of an entire country. So let's talk about stress for a little bit. Constantly at war. Constantly trying to maintain his budget in the kingdom. Not watching over a handful of people in a family, but hundreds of thousands or millions of people in his kingdom. David one day thought back to those times when he was sitting under the tree, watching his father's flock. And he sat down to just jot down some of these thoughts in his journal. And in the middle of all of his stress, in the middle of all of his hurt, in the middle of all of his pain, in the middle of all of his sin, in the middle of all of everything, he sat down and he wrote the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." The one who used to be a shepherd over the little cotton balls placed himself in that position and said, "I still need someone to watch over me. And I am glad today," he said, "that I know that somebody is. And that person is the Lord God himself." Now, we're going to spend our time this spring just taking each one of these little phrases from Psalm 23. And if you miss a Sunday, you can hear it on our website, and that's fine. But I would encourage you to be here, because over the next, or for the rest of this series, the rest of the psalm tells us how he works as your shepherd. We'll find out that he's provider, that he's healer, that he's the one who is there for us. All those names that you saw up on the screen there, you've got in your bulletin. He is that type of shepherd. But before we can get to any of those, I'd like to focus on just the two words, the two tiny little words right in the middle of that phrase. Just two-letter words. Is my. Because it's one thing to say, "I understand that God is a shepherd." Or maybe that, you know, he was at one point David's shepherd. But to be able to stand here or sit here this morning and say with David, "The Lord is today, right now, in the middle of everything I'm going through, my shepherd," is a whole different ballgame. And it's interesting that this whole idea of shepherd and sheep and all of that, that David picked up, that's actually a theme that runs through the Bible. And when we come to the second half of the Bible, we call the New Testament, we find Jesus uses this same idea of shepherd and sheep, and he apparently liked it because he used it on more than one occasion. And it's actually given to him on multiple occasions. And so I'm just going to go with that theme this morning. We're talking about how do we make sure, how do we know, how can we walk out of here this morning and say, I know enough to be able to say right now that the Lord, and I'm going to put Jesus in there, because Jesus claimed to be the God of the Old Testament. And in our first passage in John here, he actually invoked Psalm 23 when he said, I am that shepherd. How can we walk out of here this morning? How can you walk out of here, I walk out of here and say, you know what? Today I know that Jesus is, not just I hope, but with confidence, he is mine, my shepherd. And as we go through the New Testament, there are actually three different descriptions. And they get better, actually, as we move along. They're just one word a piece. So if you like to take notes, I gave you a couple of blanks there. Here's the first one, if you're just jotting it down here. Jesus, we're told, is my good shepherd. I just jot that down if you're taking notes in the blank there. Jesus, the first one, is my good shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus used these very words himself as he was trying to describe to the people who he was. And he used this idea of shepherd and sheep. And you'll understand this because if you've ever worked for somebody as an employee, or if you've ever owned a business, you know what the difference is, don't you? If you've owned a business, you know that it's a whole different thing to be on the owner's side than it is on the employee side, right? The employer and the employee don't quite have the same responsibilities. And Jesus set that up in John 10. And basically, this is what he said, starting in verse 10. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, you're thinking of a sheep pen. And, you know, did you hear about this week? Did you hear? Now, when I say cattle rustling, we think Old West. Did you hear about this story this week? In the Southwest, that's the only region, in the Southwest, there was a story this week about three guys who stole a 220-pound calf. Okay? Now, first of all, that's a job in and of itself. That's why I took three of them, is my guess. But when the police found them or caught them, they had a 220-pound calf in the back seat of a Honda Civic. And the other three of them trying to stay in the car with it. Now, first of all, a Civic? Really? I mean, if you're going to steal a calf, you're going to get something bigger than that, aren't you? I don't know. Jesus said, listen, cattle rustling, sheep rustling, I mean, it's happened often. You never think about Civics in the old way. It's going to skew. If you've ever read old Westerns or you watch the old Westerns, you're just never going to look at them the same again. They're just, you know, waiting for the Civic to pull up and put that calf in there. Jesus said, listen, it happens. It happens. People come and steal and everything. He said, listen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was telling the story, and he's like, the thief that comes for the sheep comes to steal, and it comes to kill, and it comes to destroy. He said, but listen, I am not a thief. I, Jesus, have come so that they might have life. And not just any type of life, not just a survival, not just a, I'll help you get by, I'll help you exist, but an abundant type of life. The life that God has designed for us to have when he is in the picture. And Jesus goes on and he says, listen, the reason that I can do that is because I'm the good shepherd. Now he sets up this employer-employee thing. He says, the good shepherd, he'll lay down his life for the sheep. The hired hand? Hired hand is not always willing to do what is necessary to keep the business going. You've worked with people like, I know you're not like that, but you've worked with people like that. They're just sort of slide by, you know, not going to do anything more than is just absolutely necessarily required of them. Jesus said, listen, if I'm a shepherd and I've got a flock and I've got a whole bunch of people helping me, and a wolf comes up, there are going to be some hired hands, there are going to be some employees that say, let's see, me or the sheep? I vote for me. And they take off and they run. Look at what he says. The hired hand, who's not a shepherd, he's not the owner, he's not tied to this flock, he can always go get another job somewhere, does not own sheep. He sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and runs away. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's a hired hand. He's not concerned about the sheep. He runs away. Jesus said, listen, I'm not a hired hand. I'm not going to drop everything and run at the first sign of trouble. It's not how I operate. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, listen, and this is what last Friday was all about. We call it Good Friday. But I'll tell you what, almost 2,000 years ago, there was absolutely nothing good about last Friday from a human standpoint. Yesterday morning, I was reading through the end of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and just reading that story yesterday morning. And I wrote a post on my blog called The Saddest Day. The Saddest Day. You can go through our church website if you want to read that, and my picture is, just click on it, and there's the thing right there. There's a lot written in the Bible about Thursday. Jesus and the apostles and meal and everything like that, Thursday night. There's a lot written about Friday, the torture and the execution. There's a lot written about Sunday, and for good reason. He's alive. He came back. There better be a lot written about that. But you know what there's not a lot written about? Saturday. There's one phrase, one sentence I saw written about Saturday. It was the Sabbath, and so the Jewish people were commanded to rest that day. It was also the Passover that they were supposed to be celebrating. The only thing the Bible says about that Saturday, that day between Friday and Sunday, was that they rested on the Sabbath like they were commanded. I don't think that was a big celebration day for them that year. I don't think they enjoyed the Passover that year. The reality of Friday, or the shock, maybe I should say, the shock of Friday, had turned into a reality on Saturday that the person that they had followed, the man that had taught them, the one who claimed to be the shepherd who would guide them and protect them and watch over them, was gone. He was gone. And Jesus had said, I'm coming back and all that, but as the guys were writing, they looked back and said, man, we didn't even understand what that meant. They weren't looking forward to Sunday morning. Oh, I know, if we can just get through Saturday, tomorrow's going to be great. They didn't know anything about it. Nothing. They were looking at a brand new life without the man that they had served and listened to and taught and followed for the last several years. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. We celebrate people who die on our behalf. We celebrate police officers and firemen. We celebrate our soldiers. We're in foreign countries at war. We celebrate people who die on our behalf. And we call them good, because they gave that ultimate sacrifice, is the term that we use. that paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And we celebrate that, and we should. We call them good. But good is not good enough. Good is not enough, because when somebody dies so that I can keep my lifestyle, that's one thing. But when somebody dies so that I don't die forever, that's something very different. Jesus said, you know, when the wolf comes, the hired hand will run. But when Jesus died, it wasn't at the hands, or at the jaws, rather, of a wolf. It was at the jaws of the most destructive enemy that any one of us has ever faced. And that's sin. 600 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. We're not going to read the whole thing this morning, but there are a couple of parts of verses 4, 5, and 6 that we dare not miss this weekend as we're looking at why Jesus died and how he is the good shepherd. In Isaiah 53, the prophet wrote, "Surely our griefs he himself bore. Our sorrows he carried. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." And then he uses this idea of the sheep and the shepherd. And he says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've wandered. And the fact of the matter is that there's not a single one of us here. I don't know all of you in your personal life or anything like that, so I suppose there's a remote possibility. But my guess is that there's not a single one of us who would stand up and say, "Psh, I've never strayed from any of what God has. I've never done anything wrong. I've never wandered from the truth." I can't say that. You can't say that. If we were honest, we'd have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, "Buddy, you blew it. You blew it." Even if it was just one time, we blew it. And the scripture says that he was crushed for those sins against God. In fact, a couple of verses later, we're actually told that God, Jehovah, was pleased to crush him for us because it was part of his plan. All of us, every single one of us, like sheep, have wandered away. We've gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. You have your plan, I have my plan. They don't usually line up with God's plan, but for whatever reason, we think we're okay with that and we do our own thing. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Jesus is the good shepherd because when he was on that cross on Friday, every single one of your sins and mine was put on him so that you didn't have to die for them. He was our substitute. He died for us. And because he died in our place, we have every right to call him good. But good is not good enough. And it's a good thing, too, because, like I said in 1 Corinthians, if he were still a skeleton in that cave today, we would still be under the weight of all of our own sin. We would still be dead in our sins, the apostle says. Jesus isn't just the good shepherd. Can I tell you the second one? He says, he's also the great shepherd. It gets better than good. He's the great shepherd. As we track through the New Testament, the writer of the book called Hebrews gets all the way down to the very end, and he sort of gives a little blessing or benediction or whatever at the very end, and he says this in Hebrews 13. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who by the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead," that's key right there, "brought back from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "May that God, who has power over not just sin, but also life and death, may He equip you with every good thing to do His will, working in us what is pleasing before Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen." He said, listen, Jesus isn't just a good shepherd who died for us. Back in John 10, Jesus said, "I have the power, I have the authority, I have the right to lay down my life, and I have that same power and authority and right to take it back up." Through God's power, Jesus Christ is alive today. He's not dead like all the other religious leaders. He's not dead like all of our family and friends who have passed on. We're not hoping one day maybe everybody will be in a better place. Listen, He is alive today, and that makes Him not just a good shepherd, it makes Him the great shepherd. Because a good person can lay down their life, but a great person can take it back up. That's a big difference, isn't it? There's not a single one of us who has been at a funeral that stopped because the person got back up. I mean, that would be awesome and everything, I understand, you know. Wouldn't have to do nearly as many funerals that way. But I've never been at a funeral where the person got back up. Because when the person gets back up, the funeral's over, don't you know? I mean, you just go straight to lunch. I mean, that's... Come on. Really? I mean, you're not going to stop lunch because the funeral's over. You're still going to have lunch. I mean, really. The meal's, it's already been prepared. It would be a... something to celebrate, right. It just becomes a... That's the real meaning of the word wake. See, wake up. Oh, man. Had to get one in this morning. Okay. Jesus is not just good because He died. He did something that not a single one of us could possibly ever do. He came back, and that makes Him the great shepherd of the sheep. And because of that, God said, "Check out my awesome power, and if I can do that in him, you won't believe what I can do in you." And that's what the rest of Psalm 23 is all about, is what this shepherd does now for us. If we can stand up and say, "I know for a fact, I can confidently say he is my shepherd." Not everybody can say that. Everybody can say he is a shepherd, he is the shepherd, he's a good shepherd. Everybody could even say he may be even a great shepherd. But not everybody. Maybe not even you today can say, "He is my shepherd." If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin. The fact of the matter is that we all have gone astray. But we all have not come back. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you with absolute certainty that he is not your shepherd today. And everything else in Psalm 23 that he promises to do for his people, he has no obligation to do for those who are not his people. And so this morning, I would like to say, listen, he can be your good shepherd. He can be your great shepherd today. If you, like a sheep, would say, "I need a shepherd. We've all felt it once or twice. We've all felt it in the past. I know I need one. I don't want one. That means that I have to be dependent. That means I can't be independent. That means I need someone to take care of me, and I can't take care of myself. Well, the fact of the matter is that when we do take care of ourselves, it's usually when we're wandering off the wrong direction. It doesn't work out very well. And Jesus said, I want to be your shepherd. I died for you. I died for you. This morning, would you, by the grace of God, humble your heart to the place where you are willing to tell him, I know that I'm a sheep that walked away. I strayed, I wandered. Use the term that the Bible uses, I sinned. Call it what it is. And when we humble our hearts before him and say, God, I have sinned, would you save me? You know what the great shepherd promised? He said, I will always save those who come to me, and I will never kick them out. When God brings them to me, I never kick them away. And he keeps us forever. Now, there's one more thing that the shepherd does. Because Jesus isn't walking around the planet anymore. I mean, if he were, and he were here this morning, you can be sure I wouldn't be up here. You know, give the floor to Jesus. Let him teach us. Let him tell us about himself. I wouldn't have to tell us about him anymore if he were here. He left the planet. He's in heaven. We're told that he is interceding for us on our behalf. He's watching over us. But honestly, and don't take this wrong, because he's 100% God and God can do everything, and I'm not knocking that at all. But there is only so much that he can do from that far away, and we are physical people here on the planet. And so one of the things that he did in his infinite wisdom and his grace is he said, while I'm gone, I'm going to set up a community of people to help do what I do. And that community is called the church. And in the church, God has placed people, you and me, some of you and me, that people that he calls shepherds. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is writing, and if you're taking notes, I'll give you one more word here. He's not just good and great. He's also the chief. He's also the chief shepherd. I'm not going to read all the way through this passage, but this is what Peter says. He says, there are people in the church, some of whom have titles, and some of whom don't, who provide a shepherd's care to the rest of us. The title is elder or pastor. In fact, pastor, that word has all the built into that whole shepherd and sheep. It's very closely related in its original language to pasture. It's where it comes from, and where the sheep live, and the pastor is the one who pastures the sheep. And there are pastors in the local church who it's their job, elders who it's their job to care for the people. But don't you know, there's no way in the world just a handful of guys can take care of everything. And so God has placed in his church people who can care for other people, who can give a shepherd's care. And you may not have a title, and you may not have a position, you may not have a paycheck from the church or anything like that, but God has placed you here, and you know, most of you, who you are, many of you, because you just can't help caring for people. And you want to encourage, and you want to help, and you want to jump in, and Jesus said, listen, I'm not going to do it all by myself. I am going to work through people in the community that I call my church. Of all the different places that we have made up, of all the different organizations that we have created to help people, the church is the only one that God created. The church is the only one that God established, and we try to find help everywhere else. And God says, listen, it's supposed to be done in the church and in the church community. And that is how our chief shepherd helps us. It's how he provides for us and heals us and sanctifies us, and he becomes our righteousness and our shelter, and all of those things he does through people. The ones around us. You and me. I shepherd you and you shepherd me, and we care for each other. And Jesus says, listen, one day, the people who really cared for each other, I am going to welcome you home and give you a big hug. I don't know if he's a hugger or not. I hope not, because I'm not, you know. But he is going to reward us in a very special way for taking care of his people. And it doesn't matter whether we have a title or not. We don't even use titles around here very much. It doesn't matter if we have a title or not. It matters that we do what God has called us to do. But I tell you this morning that if God is not, if Jesus is not yet your shepherd, then you're still wandering until you come back to Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'm going to ask on the back of your connection card as we wrap up. Gary will come up in just a minute here after I pray and he'll wrap us up this morning. But on the back of your connection card, maybe you are willing to say this morning, you know what, I have never, ever believed in Jesus Christ as Savior before. I knew about Him, but I never really knew Him. And I don't want to stand before Him one day and hear Him say, I never knew you. I want to know the shepherd that we've been talking about all morning. And you would say, today, right now, today, I am receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior for the very first time. Maybe I've prayed in the past, and maybe I've been baptized, or maybe I've done all sorts of other stuff, but I've never come humbly before the great shepherd. And this morning, in the celebration of the day that he became the great shepherd, what better time than to become a part of his family? One of his sheep. And you would say, today I'm making that decision. Maybe you would say, you know what, Jesus, I understand that Jesus created the church community to care. And today I realize that I need to become a member of that community. God doesn't intend to have sheep just wandering all over the place. He created a community for a reason. See, I need to become a member. I can think of a pretty good one that I would recommend, but, you know, maybe you've got a different one that you're thinking of, but, you know, it starts with oak and ends with tree is the one that I would recommend. And you would say, listen, I realize I need to become a member of the community because it's the only one Jesus started to care for his people. Maybe say, I need some more information about that, or I'm ready to join the family here. You would mark that on your connection card. Maybe this last one, you say, listen, I know that Jesus has designed me to shepherd or care for other people. Maybe with a title, maybe with not, doesn't matter. And I know that I need to start doing that. And I would like to know how, at Oak Tree, I can plug in to caring for other people and fulfilling the life that God has called me to. And not just living abundantly myself, but also helping others live the abundant life that God has created and called us to. So as you finish up your connection cards, think about what God has challenged you this morning. We'll close in a word of prayer. Gary will come up. We'll give our connection cards, give our offerings as we close out our service this morning. And I want to say with everything that I have, thank you so much for being here. And I hope you have a fantastic, not just happy, we talked about bigger and bigger and bigger today, but a fantastic Easter. as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for the plan that you had that put him on that cross in our place. May we never forget the depths of our sin that put him there and the heights of life that he is calling us to because of his death and resurrection. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.